So this morning, we're gonna pick back up in Romans. I think the last time we went through Romans, Randy, was you did that back in December. So we've had a little topical, some topical sermons since then. Grab your Bibles if you have it with you. Turn to Romans 15. If you don't, there's one in and it should be in one of the seat pockets in front of you. And I'll even give you kind of a hint. It's page 617 if you're using one of these Bibles. So that might even help. But let me... We just prayed, but you can't pray enough, so let's pray a little bit more. Lord, here we are. We long for more of you, more of your truth, more of your love, more of your life, and we turn to your scriptures as encouragement to build us up, to lift us up, help us why we endure and we love and we live. Your timing is perfect, God, and we stand before you now. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and to teach us and to guide us. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Lead us where we need to go. Bless our fellowship. Teach us what it means to be part of the family of God and to be the body of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, do you believe that there's more of God for you to have than you have now? More of God's love. When I'm saying that, I mean more of, sounds like a church word, right? I got to be careful with those. More of God's love, more of his joy, more of his fullness than you have now. I mean, do you want that? I think that's true. The next question is the one I'm not so sure about for all of us, even myself at times, is are we willing to push into him to get that? Or will we be afraid and continue to hold back and have less than his best for us? So, just so it's been a little bit of time. So, when we went over back in December, Romans 14, just as a reminder, a couple of those topics there was about passing judgment on other people and also not causing your brother to stumble. And Randy had talked about that. Sometimes, even though we have tremendous freedom in Jesus, we make the choice of our own will to not go places, do certain things, exercise our freedom for the love of others. And so when that happens, you know, you don't do that because of legalism. You do that because of love. So look at the lights are flickering on and on. It's creating the mood there. So we pick up today now on 15:1, and it starts like this. Okay, so first of all, here's your warning. This is going to be fun. I'm excited to be here because here's what happened. Friday, God's like, remember the sermon that you put together? I want you to change it a little bit. Okay, God, we'll do that. Those are the most fun weeks because you get in habits and patterns of how you prepare to teach anyone who's taught anything, right? So then when there's that curveball, it's fun. So we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Romans 15, verse 1. In the ESV, it says this, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Well, the language here, I read that and, you know, I've read this before, of course, so have you guys, but I read that and I thought, okay, so some of us are strong and you have to bear with those who are weak. And so I'm like, Lord, what does that really mean? Because that language is a little like snooty, right? Like, since I'm so good, Connor, I'll just put up with you and all your silliness. So really what's cool, guys, is, you know, if you go online, the whole debate about someone's like, you need to have this version of the Bible, you need to have I've got no patience for that. Here's why, because you can go to the original language if you want to study yourself and look what they're translating and then tell yourself, okay, this makes no sense. I actually don't like what ESV did here after looking at it. So I looked at it, check this out. Here's what I think I went too far. I don't know where that went here. I think it moved. We'll find it. Okay, so this will help us see this better. So Romans 15:1, if you look at this, it says, "We who are strong." Who's he writing to? So we don't forget with Romans. Who's this letter to? What's that? To Roman, the Roman citizens who, what? What's that? That, well, you know, what he's doing is he's always writing letters to churches, basically, right? Groups of people. A lot of them says to the church, to the Corinth church. This one just says, if we go way back, rewind like more than a year now, what he's saying is to all the believers, right? Some come from a Jewish background, some are Gentiles who've converted, but these are to believers. So when he says we, he's talking about followers of Jesus in Rome. So he said, hey, all you followers of Jesus in Rome who are strong. The word strong really means this: able, capable, possible, powerful. That's what that means. So all of you who are able and capable, you have an obligation, and the word obligation here is duty or debt owed. You have an obligation. Who do you think you have an obligation to? Jesus, right? The church answer worked this time. This is good. Okay, obligation to Jesus to bear, and the word bear means to like lift, to carry, to take up. With the word they use is failings. What the word failings really means is a weakness or error arising from the weakness of the mind. The idea is here, the truth of the matter is you act in ways that you think are appropriate. What you believe is true and good and right is the way that you behave. So a lot of times when you make mistakes over and over again, the problem is you really don't want to change, because you're operating in the way that you've learned to operate and survive. So this idea of weakness is it's a weakness or an error that you make because there's a certain weakness in your mind that has you doing that. And then it says, of the weak. The word weak here really means unable. So weak is pretty good for that word, and not to please ourselves. So let's try that again, okay? We who are able and capable have a duty or obligation to lift up, to carry, to take up whenever we're encountering the weaknesses of the people around us based on what's going on in their mind. And with the people who are unable, and not to please ourselves. So I was asking the Lord, you know, talk to me more about that. Well, you might notice that right up here, we've got part of the youth group sitting together. These guys are my kids are in this group, okay? So I'm older than them, old enough to be their parent. However, I know a couple things. Like, man, I know there's a couple guys here who are seniors in high school that know things that I don't know, even though I'm twice their age, a little more than twice their age. Like, I know he wrote a book, which I've never done. I don't know the process. I don't know if I could do it. So when it comes to that, he is able and I'm unable. And just because he's able and I'm unable doesn't mean I'm less and he's more. Do you understand that? But within our relationship, if I was wanting to write a book, I might go ask him because he knows and he's able, and I don't know and I'm unable. Right? Connor on the other end here, there are certain things that he knows about, even like cars or firearms and fixing those things that I don't know about. And when it comes to that particular thing, there's a weakness in my mind because I don't have the training and the understanding. But he has the training and understanding. So he's able and I'm unable, even though I'm twice his age. It doesn't make me less and him more. The other aspect is what, you know, is really what Randy was touching on before. Some of us, we haven't been freed from certain things in our conscience. It's a matter of conscience. I really, you know, I have to wear a tie to church because I just think for me, that's a way I can show worship to God. That in no way is wrong or a weakness. But the minute you make your neighbor also wear a tie because that's your problem with consciousness, that's where we have a problem here. And the minute where someone who doesn't wear a tie gets on somebody who wears a tie, now we have a problem. Here's what we're running into. Does that make sense why he would write that letter to a church? Have you guys been in a church where these types of debates happen? You can dance, you can't dance. You can wear a hat, you can't wear a hat. You right? Well, at my church, you know, coffee and caffeine's okay, but beer you can't have, right? And so everyone has these norms that they've gone above and beyond scriptures for. based on conscience, conviction of their mind. But what Paul is saying is, you got to understand, if you have been enlightened by God, by the Holy Spirit about some kind of matter, you have a duty to help those around you who are still struggling and unable to do that. And understanding that we're all on a journey and we're learning and we're growing. And what I don't want you to do is be focused on only pleasing yourself. Oh, Reggie, that's bad, right? We don't like that. Well, I was going to preach a sermon about, like, you know, being selfless. I know. Rock climbers are already falling asleep. This is going to get bad. No. No, but really what we, let's see if this is going to work. Okay. So now that we have that, let's go on to verse 2. That was all verse 1. Let us each please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So once again, we come back to this example. I mean, you understand, I think a big part of what's going on in the life of our church body right now is like we talked about, this reset. God wants to take us back to a simpler, more basic look at this, because we've gotten turned all weird and wrong. Even this morning, out in public, because of people knowing I was a pastor, some conversations I had, it pointed me back to the reality that we've really gotten off kilter with what God's called us to do. Does that make sense? Like someone's like, well, you could do that. Oh, no, that's not really what God's commanding us to do. So let's stop a second. Let's throw out all the trash, right? It's like that old building last week built on the sand. We got to knock it out. When you have a bad foundation and a bad structure, you don't patch it. You knock it down and you start over again. So let's look back at this, and if you know nothing else except for what Paul is writing a letter to you, he's telling you right now, you know what you should do? Emily, you want to follow Jesus? Take care of your neighbor. Take care of your neighbor. Build them up for their good and yours. For their good and yours. And the reason why you do that, Randy, is because this is what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, it was even written that the reproaches, everyone that came against you, he paid the price for. Why is that important? Well, in this like eye for an eye culture that we can tend to live in, every one of you, I mean, who's been wronged? I mean, wronged by somebody, right? If we were raising hands, I think everyone in here over the age of 2 days old would have their hand up. You've been wronged. This world is not fair. Bad things happen, and sometimes it's not your fault. People come against you, which is the idea of reproach, right? They come against you. They challenge you when you do that. But Jesus is like, I don't care. You don't understand. Even what they brought to you, I bared on that cross. So here's what we want to do. If we want to do this together and follow Jesus, let's take seriously what it is he's saying. Every one of you, wherever you're at, wherever you found strength, wherever you're able, you owe it, because Jesus died for you, to care about, bear with, and be patient with everyone else around you that's still trying to grow in that area. And that's not flashy. That's not fun, necessarily. That's not very American of me, but it's the way that Jesus is asking us to live. Well, okay, Paul wrote this. Okay, I don't know. Well, maybe this is just Paul's opinion. Well, Jesus, you might remember, and this is really becoming the focal verse for ministry, in my opinion, is this idea that, okay, God, what are we supposed to do? There's so many things to do. We've been taught, you know, if I could just go to church Sunday morning, go to church Sunday night, go to church Wednesday, go to prayer group, you do all these things, you get holiness. And that's not doing it because we've tried it. Or maybe your mom tried it and you saw what happened with that and you don't want any part of it. And so what happened at this time is if we look at this is the words of Jesus. And some of the scribes, some of the religious leaders of the time, they came up to him. There's an account in Luke and an account in Matthew. And they came to kind of test him and see what he's going to say because there's all these laws. Remember that? The Jews had all their laws and they wanted to make you follow so many laws. So they came to Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, say this. And he said to them, right, because they ask him, Jesus, so there's all these laws. There's all these things that we can do. Can you tell us, like, what is the most important thing? What are we supposed to do? Which one of the laws should we keep? And their answer in their own head, right, is like, all of them. Like, be the best Jew you can be. And they come to him. And verse 37 records, and he said to them, he being Jesus, here's what you got to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Have you read that about 1,000 times? And then later, and then John 13, 34 through 35 record Jesus saying this, all the commandments that you had. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That kind of goes with that, right? We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, Romans 13, Paul also wrote this. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor. Okay, well, I get it. You're trying to really, really stress home this love thing, right? Yeah. What about, you know, what about boundaries? What about saying no? What about all of that? Well, here's what I think God wants us to understand. I have this here in my hand, and it's a blow pop. Extremely delicious and nutritious, right? This is watermelon flavor. Far superior to some other flavors. Apples, okay, so officially, apple's good too, yeah. See? You've got to bear with one another where you have weakness and she doesn't. But here's what I think we run into living. Here's where God stopped me. Yeah. Guys, by all means. The whole thing we're doing here is, at church, it's not necessarily about being the most right, the most flashy, the most intelligent group of people. But what Jesus clearly said, if we want to go back to what he really said, is people will know that you follow me with how you treat each other and how you love each other. You want to reach a dying world, right? A lost and dying world for Christ. You do that through love, not through education. But I think we've gotten it wrong. I'm going to somehow argue you into faith. See, a couple songs ago, right? Like two songs in, Yes, I Will was the title of the song, and I love that one. It's probably, Ross, probably one of my favorites right now, brother, because it's like the same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. See, this is God's game, not yours. And we got it so wrong, like, let's make the building look really cool and have the music awesome and put girl pants on the worship leader and have, right? And have a dynamic, no offense if they wear girl pants, if they want to, but that's not the magic formula. Let's get a pastor who's dynamic and can spend themselves trying to impress everyone with jokes and props and, you know, all these things, right? But this is not necessary. Jesus is building his church. Jesus is doing it in his right time, and he's transforming you in your right time. And it might take 80 years, right? I sure hope you're better today than you were 10 years ago, but I know you haven't arrived because you came here today. If you had arrived, you'd be home with him, right? You can either say amen or that's right or whatever it is words you use, right? We can't just do the church stuff. We got to be honest. And so here's what I think it is. God has really good things for you. He has a lot of love for you. He has a lot of peace and joy and mercy. These promises are there. But it's not going to come easy, and it's not going to be every day that you see it. You're going to become blind and distracted and discouraged. But there is something sweet that God has for you. And we're starving for it. Because the one place that was supposed to tell you this is actually telling you to do better and be better and work harder. And that's not what Jesus said. He knew you wouldn't figure this out. He had to die on the cross because you wouldn't figure it out. He had to pay for all your sins with his own death because you wouldn't figure it out. But he's got something sweet for you. And so here's something God was showing me. Here's how I think we live. So if I go to Jordan and I'm like, man, I've got something really sweet for you. Okay. And I give her this sucker. And then I tell her, but Jordan, you wanna follow Jesus? Okay. What Jesus said is you should actually bless your neighbor and love the person next to you. Okay. Now here's a problem. There's one sucker, right? There's one sucker. And I think we all think that if I give it away, there's nothing left for me. To give it away, there's nothing left for me. And so we live in a world where it's like, here's the sucker, and you're like, my precious, and you don't want to give it away, right? Right? But I think what God is saying here is the life of a believer is loving one another. We have a God who has so much for us. You know, where he's like, Connor, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to love you. No matter what you face, I'm going to be there with you. And so now, wherever you're able, wherever you've learned, wherever you've grown, wherever you're strong, lift up your neighbor who might be weak in that area. And do not try to please yourself, but please your neighbor. And in pleasing your neighbor, he's going to be built up, and you're going to be built up. And then he shares down, right? And then he shares down. Yeah, and then they share down, right? And this is what life with, yeah, right? And Apple, there you go, Apple, right? And then he shares with his neighbor, right? And here's what's happening, and pretty soon the blessing is everywhere. And that sounds too idealistic, because the reality of my life, God, is it's not this nice. Who else wants one? You guys want some over here on that end? No? Okay. Grape or strawberry. There you go. Sure, your prayers were answered. You gave to your neighbor, and she gave back to you. What you give away will come back. But here's the vision, right? That I think what Jesus is trying to paint here is we have an opportunity, guys. Check out, look around, look at this building we get to come meet. It's air conditioned and heated, and these chairs move. These chairs move, so we can make a mess, clean it up pretty easy, right? We have this place where we can go and know and be known and celebrate, right? And come as you are, whether God's telling you wear a tie or wear shorts. I mean, that is a huge blessing. And what he's asking us to do is love each other. And I think that's where we got off kilter. And this is where my dream is to see this more, right? Is that us as a group of people, we're like, wow, like everyone in there. I mean, because this is a friendly group, right? It's been friendly since the first day I came here. But it comes to the point where are you bearing with one another? Are you lifting one another? Are you even living enough life together to even have this type of encounter and type of relationship? Do you even interact and cross paths enough? No. You say hi on Sunday and then you're out. Well, there's a problem with giving so much. You guys ever, you've been burnt or had someone around you be burnt by giving so much of themselves? And so we even have books out there like about boundaries, right? You guys read books about boundaries? Yeah. It's like I'm at a fault, a people pleaser, so that's like a bad word for me, right? But I've been learning about boundaries and asking God about this. Okay, so where does this fall in? Like, because Paul seems to be saying, and Jesus seems to be saying, you give of yourself and you love your neighbor and you're pleasing them and not yourself. You're giving your sucker away. And what about boundaries? Well, here's something that we've been learning about boundaries. So boundaries is this. Do you understand that boundaries, as they say, it's like building a fence? Have you seen this analogy? Well, I feel like if we're not careful, what we build is walls instead of fences. And so in an effort to create more boundaries, I think Christians have created walls instead of fences. One of the cool things about fences is they have gates. And so what you learn with boundaries is this is an act of strength, right? A good, positive, strong act, not an act of fear. If you're creating boundaries out of fear, what you're creating is walls. And you're shutting everyone out. You're taking your sucker, any sweetness you can get in life, and you're walling it off. But boundaries is an act of strength with a gate that opens and closes. Because if you watch Jesus' life, what you're going to find is sometimes, man, Jesus just spent himself completely in the service of others. And the next minute, it's like he woke up and took off. And everyone's like, where'd Jesus go? There's still all these sick people that need to be healed, right? Even his disciples didn't get it. Because he listened to the Father. He got away to a mountaintop. He went off to the next city. He knew when, out of strength, to close the gate and open the gate. And so it's hard for me as the pastor about this topic to come up and teach you and say, okay, here's the walls and the boundaries and here's when you give and when you don't give. I can't answer that for you. I can tell you what the scripture says, you know. If you look at the scripture, we are supposed to love our neighbor. But the only way that's possible, right, is if we love God with all of our heart, right? All of our mind, all of our soul, all of our body, all of our thoughts, all of our time. We love God. And in loving him, we get more of his love. And we have more to give. And more ability to love ourselves. So what about boundaries? Boundaries aren't bad. How can we learn to be giving but to have boundaries? I'm hoping I learn more about that as I go. I'm hoping you do too. What about saying no? Yeah, sometimes you have to say no, but there's no shortcut, guys, from walking with God, walking in community with other believers. What about self-care? Sure, there's a time for that. You need your sleep. You need your rest. You need to take care of your health. If you don't sleep and you're at the constant care of others, it will deplete you. I don't want to minimize those by just saying, go give and share and love. And like, the reality is all these are aspects that you're going to have to deal with. But what I have to tell you today is, yes, I would love to be part of a community where we love one another. You know what would be great? If people who came to this church were like, well, why do you go over there and fellowship with them? Well, I have these couple really good friends, and we just really are there for each other and love each other well. That would be actually what I would love to see, Randy, instead of this. Why do you go to that church? Oh, man, the music is awesome. Or the pastor, you know, he had coffee with me that one day, which no pastor ever really did before. Like, that's the wrong thing. What it is you shouldn't go here because of me. You should go here because of each other. You should go here because you found other people that are loving God, and by loving him, and I mean, there's a million ways you do it. I mean, how do you love God? There's prayer, and this is what churches have been telling you. You've got to pray. You've got to get in the scriptures. Some of you might love sunsets or sunrises. Some people love mountains. Some people love the sea. Some people love crossword puzzles or jigsaw puzzles. Some people love coffee with friends and steaks and all the things that God gave us to enjoy is worship, right? And we can worship him and love him by doing all those things and doing those things together. But you want to be part of an amazing group of believers, then that's on you. Like, I'll do my part to try to pray for you and shepherd you and teach you God's word and love you. But I need that same thing, too. What do you love about being the pastor there? It can't be, well, you know, I get to get up there and be put on a pedestal and preach. No, it's got to be the relationships and the love that I have for the people here. You've got to love God, and only loving God will give you the strength it takes to walk out the Christian walk. And that's got to be a precursor to loving others. Love others. Bear with them on their journey. Do you see how much grace you need from God, like today? How much mercy? How much forgiveness you need from God today just to keep going? Yeah. I'm a mess, you know, right? Like, shouldn't we figure this out more? Like, I've been a Christian since went to church since I was a kid. I should have more figured out by now, right? Not necessarily. I need your mercy, Lord. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. And once I'm looking for that and I'm receiving it, then I actually have something to offer someone else. Then I actually have enough energy, enough strength, enough love to share. And somewhere in that process there's also this, like, I'm able to love myself because God first loved us. My wife and daughter were doing a Bible study, and they were back through Acts. Remember the couple years or whatever we spent in Acts? And she brought this to me. She goes, huh. You know, we look at, might be kind of hard to see that, we look at how can we be the church? We're trying to. We got care groups. We're trying to minister to one another. We're really trying to be the church. But in Acts, when powerful movements of God were happening and the faith was growing and being built, it says this in Acts 2:42, that the early believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, so that's what we're doing here. That's what we can get in small groups or Bible studies, and those things are an important aspect. They did that too because we need to know what's true, right? We need to know what's true. And the fellowship. What if just hanging out together eating, like, right? Laughing, playing volleyball, basketball. Could that be a holy thing to do, Natalia? Could that be like worship? To be something like, oh, spiritual? No. To the breaking of bread, the sharing of food, and while you're doing that, remembering what Christ did for you, and prayers. I mean, that was the formula. And the early believers debated theology and built really big buildings and had super attractive worship teams and dynamic pastors. It doesn't say that. It's really simpler than we, but so hard, right? And then he goes on to say, Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That through, so first of all, what was written in former days? Old Testament, right? Yeah, the scriptures, the written words of the prophets and the history. What was written in former days was written for our instruction. So it sounds like even in a New Testament world, there's a place and a use and a purpose for Old Testament scripture, right? You can see that right here. That through endurance, that's not a fun word. Endurance, that's, you know, bearing with it over time. Through endurance and through encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And that's precious because I think when we get together, this is something we need to help each other out. There's the scripture, right? All the scripture. And for us, former days also includes the New Testament because all that was written in former days to us. At their time, they had the Old Testament. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. So what you're saying is when we're getting together, we're loving one another, we're bearing with each other, understand that all the things that were written were for us to use so we can endure this life. So we can be encouraged. And that through the scriptures, we might have hope and share that hope with one another. Do you ever think about the Bible that way? Right? It's usually just instruction, but is it encouragement? Does it produce endurance? Does it produce hope? Well, it should. And we should offer that together when we fellowship. And then it's like a prayer he does in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement. See, this is the business of God to endure, help you endure, and to encourage. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with God or with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think we could do that with one voice? Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to do that, then verse 7 says this, therefore, welcome. The word welcome here means to take to oneself, to use, to lead, to admit, to receive. So, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You know, Lois, it's like Lois was telling me, her aunt told her, you know, sometimes the reality is this is the only hell we'll never know if we're followers of Christ. And to walk through that at times, you really have to be endurant, right? You really need to be encouraged. You really need people to bear with you as you're struggling. And so what they're saying, because of all the work that God did, what we need to do is welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. For the glory of God. I think there's a breakdown in the English here. Because if I read welcome, then I'm just thinking about, hey, glad to see you. And walk away. That's not what this is. This is the idea that, man, when we come together in the name of Jesus, it's like, man, it's like taking someone to yourself, man. Like, this same word could be used for eating something. Like, so I am taking this person, I'm welcoming them, I'm taking them where I'm at. See, I think the danger is we get caught up and we think, I have to go where they're at. That's not what this says. When we're gathering together, I mean, one example is here, right? You're here on a Sunday morning and someone's new here. Gosh, I should almost be like overwhelmed by all the people wanting to know their name, right? That's like the dream, I think, for any group of believers. But the idea is, I'm so glad you're here, and I just want to take you like where I'm at. Let's just, and then together we glorify God. Instead of, I've got to chase everyone down. But see, the God who's never late is working all things out. Not the Will who's got superpowers is going to go chase somebody down. Not the Linda who has superpowers is going to go chase somebody down. But no, we welcome, we take to oneself, we lead, we receive one another as Christ has received you. Taken to oneself. That's like a lot to think about in just a few scriptures, right? So, okay, what do we chew on? What do we chew on with this? Well, one is this idea that this life is not about pleasing yourself, but rather loving your neighbor, being there for them, bearing one another's burdens and life. Showing the world that we belong to Jesus because we love like him. Welcoming them, taking them into oneself. It's a lot of doing things, but we're not going to have anything to offer anyone if we're not spending time with our Heavenly Father, if we're not being poured into by one another, because that is the whole thing. It's not one person giving out all the suckers. It's everyone nourishing one another. And if we just started practicing this, I wonder what would happen. The more days I live, the more I see that God had a perfect order and plan, and when we get out of whack, it's beyond understanding why everything is so messed up and out of order. And once we begin doing things God's way, pieces fall into place, and there's peace and joy and love that you didn't manifest yourself. So I go back to this scripture. I used this last year. It's a paraphrase from the Message. From Matthew 11:28. It's not fair for me to come up here and tell you guys, hey, get out there, man. Love your neighbors. Love everyone around. Take care of them, Randy. Bear with them. You know, pray for them. Smile at them. Have dinner with them. Do. It's not fair for me to do that and send you out empty-handed with no energy, no love, no joy to offer to the people around you. This is what Jesus came to talk about. Jesus came to give. And so Jesus is talking. He's talking to people. And I love the paraphrase version of this. And he says this, are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Like, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. And work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It doesn't say, come with me and I'll do all the work and you sit there, right? I mean, there is a doing piece to this, but come and watch how I work and we'll do this together. But, oh man, Tim, I want people's experience of me as someone, a son of God, to be so less forced than it feels probably most of the time. I would love to live in such a way where it was like, wow, that Will, he really lives freely and lightly. He doesn't seem to be forcing it. It's like he's getting all the nourishment he needs. But he doesn't seem to be forcing it. He doesn't seem to be pushing it. It's not about a 5-year plan or a day planner or, you know, conquering the world. It's not like an over-caffeinated, charging the mountain, trying to take on the world that you can only keep up for a short period of time before you collapse. But it's this guy who is always spending time with the Lord and constantly being encouraged by Scripture and fellowship with other believers. And he just seems to be like flowing. That'd be cool. That'd be great. Okay, well, where's your 5-step plan? No. The 7-minute Jesus plan? Well, maybe if we just read, no. I mean, what? I mean, really what we need to do is pray. Because we don't know how we're going to do this, and we won't have the power to do this without the Holy Spirit. But based on this little piece we read today, and that's the thing, I think we raced through, guys, and that's what I had done. I had more scripture plan for you, but just this scripture here is pointing to this powerful truth, and I think it's what we need in this day is allow me to like tear down maybe another foundation was there and deputize you, if you will. What you need to do is spend time loving God and receiving his love. It's my prayer for you. God, would you show them, would you show me how to spend time loving you and receiving your love? And then everywhere that they go, would you show them how to love others from the love they got from you? And by that, all people will know they're yours. That doesn't sound so hard, right? You think you could do that in an unforced rhythm of grace? I don't know. We'll keep reading and learning, but let's just pray now. And Lord Jesus, I'm reminded that you are in control. You're in control. You're right on time. You know what's happened, what's happening, what's going to happen next. You are a wonderful and powerful God, and you are working all things out. And we're simple, and we're finite in our thinking and our understanding, and so we're here, God, and so we sit and worship awe. We worship, we literally just lower ourselves to a lower place because we know that we don't know. And so, Father, we read these things about you, that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to die for us on the cross so that those who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We know that you knit us together in our mother's womb with such intimacy and such care that you know the number of hairs on our head. You know the number of days of our life, that you love us even though we've been unfaithful to you. That's amazing. And so, Lord, my prayer is for our church family here, anyone here in this, that you would just show us your love. That we would see your love, that we would receive your love, that we would spend time loving you. That you would fill us, Lord, with the river of life that flows from the throne room of heaven. That you would fill us with your presence, your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. And it would just be overflowing. So everywhere that we went, people would see something in us. They would see you in us, just boiling over and pouring out. And that you would lead us, Holy Spirit, into people for us to love, to encourage, to bear with, Lord. That you would teach us to be your church in this building and out. We pray this, Jesus, in your name.